Psalm 92, verse 1 to 5. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Anyone else got a testimony or a scripture you want to share? Maybe just an idea?
This week the Lord has really been dealing a lot with my heart on how I approach Him. I'm trusting the Lord for a couple of things, and He's just been giving me revelation that I'm not a slave, I'm a daughter. And I found myself at times when I pray and seek His face that I come as if I don't deserve to ask Him these things. I come as if I have to plead with Him. Tonight, God is saying that He's given us right to become His sons and His daughters. And He's given us right to enter into His throne room and ask Him as a father. And that we can stand before His throne unaccused, without guilt, without shame. And that He will give that to us. I just want to encourage you, if you're here and you're thinking that, well, maybe your relationship with the Lord is a bit rocky, or maybe you're not approaching Him the right way. God is saying that He has adopted you into His family, and you have right to come into His throne and ask and seek His face as a son and as a daughter and not as a slave. In Jesus' name.
It's me again. I just want to give a testimony. 2 weeks ago, I got really, really sick. I had bad allergies and sinus, and I was just in so much pain, and I was really battling to breathe, and I was coughing so badly, like it was so bad that I felt like my stomach was so tired just from coughing. And I went to the doctors, and I was booked off like for a whole week, and it wasn't getting better. And Friday evening, I was invited for prayers at one of my friend's church. But I was so much in pain. Like, it was so bad. It felt like I have a toothache and the nose is like on one side of my face, it's almost like just falling off. And I was in just so much pain. And I told my friend, no, I can't make it because I'm so much in pain. And I tried to take pills, but it was just not going down. But anyways, a friend of mine called me around 9 and they shared their testimony with me. And I got so excited that I got up like at 10 in the evening. I took a cab and I went to my friend's church and we were just praying the whole night. But when I left that yesterday morning, I was completely healed. Like, I was so healed. I didn't have to spray my nose anymore. And so I'm really like just ecstatic about how great our God is. Like, really.
John 8 from verse 7 is on Marie's heart. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Anyone else? Any scripture or anything?
Give me a minute. I just felt the Lord telling me I should share this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and I have charity and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass, or I think like symbols. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity in faith not. Charity vauneth not itself. It's not puffed up, doth not behaveth itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecy, they shall fail. Where there be tongue, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish. For now we see though as through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now I abideth faith, hope, charity, this thee, but the greatest are this charity. Thank you. That's all I had to share. Because at times we think that we are right with God, but then we do not have love for one another. We're still holding grudges. We're still treating each other like, let's just learn to love one another and just be united as brothers and sisters. Because sometimes I feel like we don't really, especially here, I feel like we don't really love each other. Sometimes we don't even know each other's names, and we just don't love each other. Okay.
Ek lees gou Openbare 19 vanaf vers 6 af. En ek het iets gehoor, soos die stem van 'n groot menigte en soos die geluid van baie waters en soos die geluid van sterk donderslaaf wat sê halleluja. Van die Here God die Almagtige het die koningskap aanvaar. Laat ons bly wees en ons verheug aan hom die heerlikheid gee, want die bruilof van die lam het gekom en sy vrou het haar gereed gemaak. En aan haar is gegee om bekleed te wees met rein en blink fyn linne, want die fyn linne is die regverdige dade van die heiliges.
Yes, thank you, Father, that we can know that none of us is condemned, but that all of us can come to you, Father, and that we are forgiven, and that you forgive us our sins, but still, Father, you send us out and say, go and sin no more. In the same way, Father, just looking at this scripture, you are calling for a holy bride. You are calling for holiness. You're asking us to live holy lives. Also, the previous scripture, Father, you just calling us to a place of love, of loving each other, and putting that above other things. So therefore, we just want to thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you that we can know that You are a God and a Father of love, not condemning us, but calling us to the cross, calling us to a place of love, but also a place of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. JP.
Die bruilof van die lam het aangekom en die bruid het al gereed gemaak. The wedding feast of the lamb has come and the bride has prepared herself. Are we preparing ourselves? Ja, dankie. Let's just pray. Father God, we just pray now, Lord, that you come by the power of your Spirit, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, that you open our eyes to your word, Father. Please remove our blindness, Lord. Let this world and our fleshly desires impose on us, Lord. Let us hear what your word says, Lord. We are eager to hear what you have to say, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name, Father God. Speak, Lord. Amen. This is my second time doing a short teaching, because you have to look at the time. Okay. And tonight I want to talk about enduring in the Christian faith. Let me ask you a question. Who wants to endure till the end? Who wants to run the race and obtain the prize? Come on, show me them hands. Yeah, we all do, eh? We want to make it. So I'm just going to read my teaching's key topic so you guys can just get an idea of the framework I want to talk in tonight. It says, to endure in the Christian faith, we must find the fulfillment of our own joy in God through Christ Jesus by having our hearts and motives changed by him, through following the road he has laid for us to run with faith. So I'm just going to read that a little bit more quicker, one more time. To endure in the Christian faith, we must find the fulfillment of our own joy in God through Christ Jesus by having our hearts and motives changed by him through following the road he has laid out for us to run with faith. So you guys can turn your Bibles, if you want to, if you have them, to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the most stressed points or ideas in the New Testament is that of running the race with endurance. It's about fighting the good fight and finishing well. New Testament the philosophy of New Testament on the meaning of life is not about how I can enjoy my best life now and what I can get for myself now, but it's about living with the year after in mind, with eternity in mind. The Bible reminds us that there's a year after we have to live for, and that there are consequences to the way we live our lives now. Bad consequences for the ones for a life lived without God or not devoted to God, and good consequences for those who choose to live a life that's devoted to finding his ways, seeking him out, and living for him. And what we do now in that framework is going to determine our eternal position. As followers of Christ, we are reminded in the scriptures to be heavenly minded. That is to have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ means to have the vision of God. It means to see what God sees and not just what we see now. We get the mind of Christ by reading the Bible. As Christians, we believe that the Word of God is inspired. We believe that God has given us His Word as a means of discerning what is right and what is wrong. We believe that by making the Bible part of our lives, part of our thought processes, and part of the way in which we conduct ourselves, we are living by faith according to God's will. We believe that the Word of God transforms us into the holy image bearers of the incorruptible and invisible God revealed in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read it again. We believe that the Word of God transforms us into holy image bearers of the invisible and incorruptible God revealed in Jesus Christ. We believe that the living Word of God makes us more like Jesus. That is why it's important to pay attention to the Word and be doers of it, not just hearers. Because we want to be like Jesus. Okay, so let's just look at the text. You guys can turn with me there if you haven't yet. I'm just going to look at some exegesis or whatever. The first word in verse 1 is therefore. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, when you get this word therefore or wherefore in the Bible, it's very important to pay attention, because this is like your flags must go up when you're reading the Bible, because this is pointing us towards what was said previously in the text. And it's telling you that what's being said in the text now forms part of what's been said previously. It's being built upon that. So therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, these cloud of witnesses are the Old Testament patriarchs, or the Old Testament believers who lived before us, who dedicated their lives to God. We find a little summary of them here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 to 39. I don't want to read the whole thing, because I don't know. Time's not so much. But basically from verse 35 here it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being desolate, destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So what it says here, they lived their lives for God in believing in His promises, but they did not receive the promise. And then in the last verse, in verse 40, the whole thing changes direction and says, God having provided something better for us, that they, the Old Testament saints, should not be made perfect apart from us. So what has God prepared for us that is better? This is what I'm referring to. We have a greater motivation to endure. I just want to focus on that. What is the promise? Why do we have this greater motivation to endure? The promise of God is, of course, the gospel. Gospel meaning good news, the news of Christ. We live on this side of the historic event of Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection. We live on this side of the work of the cross, where God has reconciled mankind to Himself. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 29, it speaks about Christ in us, the hope of glory, or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul the Apostle refers to it as being the mystery of the ages. I'm just going to read that part quickly. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mystery of the ages. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, and which and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We are not Jewish, so we are Gentiles. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. Now remember, the Israelites are God's people, but here's this massive thing that's happening. It's saying there's this thing that happened which the Gentiles were predestined for. What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the old guys in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they had God. They were taken out of Egypt. They were taken to the Red Sea. They experienced stuff, manna from heaven, you know, water out of a rock, and, you know, major stuff. But still, they had this unfaithfulness attitude in their hearts because they haven't been transformed by God yet from the inside out. They saw the most amazing things happen, but they weren't living for him completely. Their hearts were still focused on what they wanted. And we have a better. That's our better. It's something better that God prepared for us. That God has prepared for us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. And it's because Jesus died on the cross that we can have the Spirit inside of us. Okay. So that's it. We have a greater motivation to endure. So that's the encouragement that I want to just quickly lift out. This is just one more scripture, Luke 10, verse 23 to 4. Jesus said to the apostles that, sorry guys, I have to read it. Otherwise I'll misquote it. He turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." You with me? You hear me? Okay. Philip? Okay, Mike. Mike always says this thing about Israelites, and it's like an inside joke that we refer to when having soul to battle with the flesh, you know, calls it Israelites. You know, you have these these Israelite syndromes in your life still. Yeah. Okay, so I just want to move to another part of this teaching quickly, and that is, in order to endure in the race that you are running, you have to have an end goal towards you moving. You have to have a mukbent, you know. You have to aim towards something. And I want to ask you guys, how are you living your lives at the moment? Are you living aimlessly? Or are you living towards the reality of the scriptures, towards the promise of God? Knowing your life is short, knowing the time that you have is limited. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul the Apostle just say, we do not run aimlessly, and we do not fight as one who beats the air, but we discipline our bodies so we won't become disqualified. So my question is, in life, what drives you? You can ask yourself, and why do you come to church? Is it because you experience joy and comfort here? Is it a safe place for you? Is it because you like the family setup and you experience growth here and you becoming the person who you want to be? Or is it because you've caught a glimpse of the glory of Christ and you've experienced his goodness and his love and you've come to know that there's nothing else worth pursuing more in this world than him and growing in him? As the Apostle Paul says in the Bible, that we can grow in the knowledge of God and his love for us. Our true prize that we are running towards is God himself. There's nothing else that will sustain our run. So in Genesis chapter, sorry guys, a lot of scripture, but in Genesis chapter 15, these are life scriptures for me that I've always looked at, and that's hit home since a young age for me. In Genesis chapter 15, God says to Abraham, who's the father of the faith, he's the first guy, the first original Hebrew, and God calls him out of the land of his fathers, and he says, come, follow me, I will give you a son, I will give you a nageslag. What's that word in English? A nageslag. Following generation, huh? Descendants, yeah, thank you. So Abraham is like, man, I'm 75, I haven't got a son, I'm going. And then I think it was like, I don't know how many years later, he's gone, I think it's 5 or 10 years after following the Lord. And he's here, and he's just had this big battle with these five kings that attacked him, and he's full of stress, and he's like, oh, what am I doing? And Lord, and God comes to him. Yeah, his name was still Abraham, not Abraham. And he says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So through this journey that Abraham was walking or following God, God wanted him to realize that his great reward wasn't his descendants he was going to get, but it was he was coming to know the living God. So that's true for our lives. In this, I'm going to end off now because my time's done. But in this road that we walk, I've got a lot more stuff to share, but I can nip them now. In this road that we walk, we have to come to that point of finding our joy in God. And who can say amongst you that you are there? But that's what the Bible says we must do. He must be the fulfillment of our joy. I love what John Piper says. Who likes John Piper? He says, God is most glorified. Remember, the Bible says it's all about God. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And that's why we're made. And that's why we walk this path of faith. It's to come to that place. It goes in, it ties in with Pastor Philip preached this morning. God takes us on this journey because we have to learn to get to know him. That's why he made us. That's why we have the flesh, which is contrary to the spirit, according to Galatians 5. It's to learn what it is to be, to know God, to have him. Just a few more helpful tips. Okay. The one is to know that God has prepared this race for us beforehand. In verse 1, it says, we must run the race with endurance, the race that is set out before us. According to Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, God has prepared good works for you beforehand, that you should walk in them. So God is absolutely sovereign. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says that we'll never understand God's ways. His ways are higher than our ways. But, yes, he is sovereign, and he's laid out this race for us to run. So we can know that. Every day has been predetermined for us. Every day that you wake up has been given to you by God. That's why with faith, you can, when you come to a time in your life where faith is running out and you're just like, ugh, you know, you're not much of a Christian anymore, you can ask God to help you because he knew this would come across your path. In that moment, you can have faith to say, Lord, you know I would be here. Please help me in that. Another tip, apart from knowing that this race has been set out for us beforehand, is to set aside the weights that so easily ensnare you. So obviously the flesh is one of those weights that ensnare us. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. The pride of life. Those are the three things that took Adam and Eve, or Eve, sorry girls, firstly. Now, yeah, those are the three things that took us away from God. And obviously, I just want to talk a bit on the mind, equipping ourselves with the right mind. And I'll almost end off with this. Our mind is a tool that we have. And Satan and this world seeks to corrupt that tool, very essential tool that we have to think on God and ponder him and be in amazement of him. If you guys know a bit of A.W. Tozer, that guy was a true worshiper of God. His mind was really set on the high things, set on the things above. So that's why it's important for us to guard our minds and have pure minds, because the perversity of this world, You know, we all know how perverse this world in our flesh is and how it creeps in. And, you know, everything seems to become about sex and sif stuff, you know. And that robs us of God. It robs us of our high and pure thoughts of God. And that's why you must guard it zealously. You must guard your mind and your heart. So, yeah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Philippians 4 verse 8, think on whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is kind, whatever is of good report. Meditate on these things. And you can also be thankful because God gives this to us. When you try, he says, okay, here you go, because he gives it to us. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, yeah. And Romans chapter 12 says we have to renew our minds. So, yeah. Watch your minds. In conclusion, God warns us in the Bible, or he tells us in the Bible, that we have to endure until the end in order to be saved. We have the Old Testament saints as examples of living a life of faith until the end of our own time. Like they, we must have the far-sightedness of looking into eternity. We must build eternal perspective into our life view. We have greater motivation to endure than they, because we have received part of the promise of having God in us. Our motives in doing what we do must be refined. It's not about ourselves, it's about God. It's about enjoying him. He's our inheritance. We must look at our lives and see the hindrances. Look at our lives, see the hindrances that are keeping us back from moving forward in this relationship with God. Be honest with yourself. Ask God to reveal to you the areas in your life that need strengthening. Read the Bible. And use it as a measuring device to guide you and to help you on this journey. So let us run. Yes, thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for the truth that stands for all time, Father God. We thank you for fruitful ground and fruitful soil tonight. Lord, that, Lord Jesus, what these words, what your word is saying, will be part of our lives forever, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. We humbly bow before you, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord. Lord, have your way, Lord Jesus. In our lives, Lord. Lord, we bless your name, Lord. Please become our joy. Amen.
Thanks, Jabby. Thanks, guys. There's coffee and tea in the back, but if anyone needs prayer for anything, maybe just want someone to pray with you, more than welcome to come to the front for that. Enjoy the rest of the evening. Thanks.